Good morning and welcome to the Grace Hour broadcast. It is brought to you every Sunday morning at this time by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. It is our prayer that you had a blessed Christmas day yesterday, and on behalf of the entire Missionary Church Association, we would like to wish for you all the best for 2005. This morning we have, as our speaker, Reverend Renard White, and he will be concluding his series today, and we trust that you will stay with us for today's message. We'd like to thank the Waterford Missionary Church, located in Waterford, St. Catherine, for sponsoring today's broadcast. Reverend Spencer Cahoon and his congregation invite you to worship with them at their morning service at 10:30 or their evening service at 7. As always, we invite you to write to us for comment or counsel. Our address is the Grace Hour, Box 123, Kingston 8.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing.
Good morning. A very special greeting to you on this very special morning. I trust that the Spirit of Christ is at work in you as you share the joy of Christmas with others today. May His grace sustain you if these have been particularly difficult times for you. This morning, we bring to a close our discussion. We have been considering the topic, Confronting Challenges, Conquering Adversities. May I read this morning's scripture? It is found in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 44 to the end. It reads thus, He said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When He led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken into heaven. Then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord. We traveled with the Lord on His last journey, beginning in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 51. We are told in that text that Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem and beyond, all the way to glory or heaven. Along the way, He encounters numerous challenges, and one by one, He deals with them quite effectively. Operating under the broad seal of the kingdom of God, He, by His speech and activities, both declared the presence of the kingdom and demonstrated the power of the kingdom. All of this is significant because of the tremendous impact which Jesus Christ has had on the lives of individuals, whole nations, and the world. The fact is that the world has not been the same since Jesus came. By His birth, with the extraordinary attendant circumstances, the life He lived, then His death and historic resurrection, all of these have converged to change the fate, face, and future of all of human affairs. That is why our text today is so significant. It sets out for us, firstly, the basis for our faith in Christ as our Savior. The fact that that which had been written by the prophets centuries before was now fulfilled by Him. He had died, the just one, in the place of the unjust ones. That His death had paid the price for all of the sins of the human race. That His resurrection was now full proof that He was who He said He was. That no one has any basis for not putting their faith in Him as their Savior from sin. It is particularly significant at this Christmas season because the angel Gabriel had told Joseph, Mary's husband, "She will give birth to a son. And you are to give Him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins." So the same one who was born from the Virgin Mary, is the same one who was crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead. Paul the great apostle says, regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. We who have been declared to be under the sentence of death because of our sins and rebellion against the eternal legitimate authority in the universe, Almighty God, have been provided with a Savior. This is the central theme of Christmas. All else is merely decoration. We have a Savior who was paid for our sins with his own life. He has satisfied the eternal demands of a holy God. This is the real reason for rejoicing at Christmas. Although the company of angels appeared on the night of his birth and sang for joy, the scriptures tell us that they have yet to grasp the significance of God's plan of salvation for us. Even angels long to look into these things, says 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The second thing, though, is that not only do we have a basis for our faith and trust in him as a resurrected Savior, but we have a basis for hope, for the present as well as for the future, for this time as well as for eternity. And if earth continues for another 10,000 years, Christmas would still be a time for rejoicing. People would still, rightly so, celebrate the one, the only one, who has given humanity hope, real hope. We do not have to look very far today to recognize that our world is in deep trouble. Even at Christmas time, right this morning, some places are at war. People, men, women, and children are dying from bombs and bullets. Places like Darfur, Iraq, and other parts of the Middle East come to mind. And yes, Jamaica too, where this year, 2004, is a record year for the number of murders committed. 2,000 years after Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, the world still has serious problems. 46% of the world's population, we are told, live in poverty. 23% are termed absolute poor. 950 million are hungry, and 2 billion are sick. 550 million are severely malnourished, and there are over 500 million crimes committed annually. Yes, we live in a time of great uncertainty. Many persons are fearful and some feel hopeless. But Christmas serves to remind us that in the midst of Earth's despairing conditions, there is one who has our welfare at heart. The Bible states it this way: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In Jesus Christ, we have great hope, both for today and for the future. He is alive and is in full control of this world. Never mind what people say to the contrary. According to our text this morning, Jesus' death and resurrection was the fulfillment of the prophetic writings about him long before his birth. Again, this tells us something about God. When he says something will be, it will be. No matter how absurd or far-fetched or unlikely it seems, it will be done. As the angel said when he told Mary of her pregnancy and Jesus' birth, for nothing is impossible with God. Another thing that we learn about God is that he uses even those circumstances and situations which seem adverse, wayward, or unlikely to bring his will to pass. How come? Well, he is the ultimate controller in the universe. The scripture says, he makes everything to conform to the counsel of his will. Everything. Finally, Jesus repeats to his disciples his intention to get the good news out to people everywhere. Firstly, the gospel message to be carried was not speculation or hearsay. Rather, it was the very fulfillment of scripture, written long before but fulfilled in their time. It was historical and related to Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. This was the basis and content of their message. Then secondly, there would be the offer of repentance and forgiveness for those who believe their message. Believers would experience God's forgiveness through Christ. This was wonderful. Thirdly, the message of forgiveness through Christ would be preached universally, a worldwide proclamation, wherever people are found. Through Christ's forgiveness, people would be restored to God's favor and find peace with Him. Jerusalem was to be the starting point. That was where the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Son of God had taken place. They would be the first to hear the good news and to benefit from it. Fourthly, power to carry out their task would be supplied by God, the Holy Spirit. Their preaching was to be substantiated by the supernatural activity of the Spirit. When the Spirit affected persons through the disciples' message, it would result in lives changed. People would begin to live new lives. Just as we see today, the message and the Spirit's power are just as potent today. Lives are still being changed and God's kingdom is being expanded. As we began, so we end. We can, through the living Christ, whose birth we celebrate, confront our challenges and conquer our adversities. As He said, reject hypocrisy. Don't fear. Take your stand. Share your Christian witness consistently and credibly. Christ is in control. He will take us through successfully. Maybe this year was one of challenges for you. How did you confront them? In your own strength or in the power of the Lord? Did you experience adversities or setbacks? Well, thank God you're still here. The Lord promises us victory and more. May we continue to experience by His grace even greater victories in the years ahead. Truly, He rules the world with truth and grace. We can trust Him for the future. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.
Now He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the name.
We trust that you've been blessed by this morning's message delivered by Reverend Renard White. For comment or counsel, please write to us. Our address is the Grace Hour Box 123, Kingston 8. Here now are some important announcements. The First Missionary Church, 58 East Street in Kingston, invites you to attend their 2004 Christmas musical entitled Christmas is Jesus, this evening at 6. The Hampton Green Missionary Church, 2 St. John's Road, Spanish Town, St. Catherine, invites you to an evening of music entitled Child of Promise, this evening at 6:30. The annual Missionary Sunday School Conference will be held on January 7 and 8 at the Kendall Campbell Conference Center, starting at 7 p.m. on Friday. The cost is $1,500 per person. All Sunday school superintendents, teachers, and prospective teachers are to be in attendance. Please submit the names of all persons attending to Mrs. Marcia Webster by calling 956-5454 or by emailing witawebster@hotmail.com. All missionary churches are being reminded that all reports for the conference manual should reach head office no later than Friday, January 7, 2005. Thanks once again to the Waterford Missionary Church, Waterford St. Catherine, for sponsoring today's broadcast. Reverend Spencer Cahood and his congregation invites you to worship with them at their morning service at 10:30 or their evening service at 7. The Grace Hour is brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm Nigel Wilkinson, wishing for you on behalf of the entire Missionary Church Association once again, a blessed and a prosperous 2005.